I usually don't start off with a title of a sermon, but I will today. It's called The Temple of the Holy Spirit. The Temple of the Holy Spirit. And of course, I'm quoting that from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. So please turn with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It sort of asks a question that says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Now, the King James Version says, which is in you, because it's the pronoun here, who, which is talking about the Holy Spirit, and we know that it's not a person. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have from God? The Spirit of God comes from God. And you are not your own. We're no longer in control. Or I should say, we no longer call the shots. God rules over us. We are no longer our own. For you were bought at a price. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins, and when we were baptized and received the Holy Spirit, we become the property of God. And we have a relationship with Him. Therefore, as it says in verse 20, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. So it separates the two. But it's talking about the whole person, body and spirit. So I'd like to talk about this scripture, this 19 and 20, sort of expand on it as part of this sermon. First, we need to talk about a little bit about the background of chapter 6 here, of 1 Corinthians. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, which was in a very perverse society. Corinth was a coastal town, had a lot of activities, and it had a lot of sin going on. Or immorality, especially sexual immorality, was rampant. And the Corinthian church was right in the midst of this mess. So when Paul began preaching the gospel there and wrote the letters there, he was teaching them something they'd never heard before. The truth of God. And it was vastly different than what their surroundings were. Their environment was not conducive to God's truth. So they had to unlearn what they had lived with. And so Paul is addressing this. They had to unlearn their bad habits and their lifestyles. Sounds familiar when you look at the world around us today and what Jesus Christ will do when he returns to this earth. People will have to unlearn. If we go back now to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, and just read serial through this, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, Paul is saying, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You have to ask the question, why did he list all of that? All of those different things, all those different lifestyles, those different sins. Why did he list them all? Because they were everywhere. They were throughout all of the region. It was a way of life. It was the norm. And in verse 11, he goes on to say, and such were some of you. He knew that they had grown up in it, that they were exposed to it, that they were influenced by it. But you were washed. You were washed. That means you were made clean through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, and were sanctified, that is, set apart for a special purpose. You're going to be the ones that stand out in Corinth. The different ones, the one that lived to a different standard that answers to God, not to their own ideas, their own lusts, if you will. But you were justified in the name of the Lord. That is, made innocent. Made innocent because of repentance. And by the Spirit of our God. So the Spirit is something special that you in the church have, Paul is saying to the Corinthians. Something special. And he's saying that to us too. We have something special living in us that makes us different. In verse 12, it's sort of oddly written. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I looked at the Bible in Basic English, which isn't a real popular translation, but I think it says it well. This is called the Bible in Basic English. I am free to do all things, but not all things are wise. I am free to do all things, but I will not let myself come under the power of any. So Paul is saying, I'm going to use the Spirit that God has given me and not do the things that are not wise. And nothing is going to control me. That's what he says. I will not come under any, over the power of any lusts, any pulls of the flesh. So I think that translation says it well. Verse 13, it says, foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. So what he's saying here is sin was being looked at as something that I need. Like, I'm hungry, so therefore I have to eat. Okay? I have this urge, and I need to fulfill it. Paul is saying, no, that's not it. Now there is a standard. There is a guide. There is a law that lives within us that is led by the Spirit of God that says, no, it's not an urge. God developed this for the marriage, the sacred marriage covenant between a man and a woman, a husband and wife, not between a man and a harlot, as it goes on to say. It's not an animal instinct. It's a precious relationship that God had ordained with Adam and Eve. It says, now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. This power of God. Verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? Certainly not. God wants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want to take this intimate relationship that we can have and have it with a harlot. Within the bounds of God's law, we can have an intimate relationship with our wife, with our husband. And God wants us to have that. So Paul was helping them unlearn the animalistic approach to their lifestyle. Only the strong survive. Only this greedy and the gluttony of people can get you ahead. He was trying to unlearn the Corinthian church. He said, no, that's the wrong way. Verse 16, or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. So do we want to be one with the world, with the lust, or do we want to be one with God? Verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. So what is he saying there? He's saying when you commit that kind of sin, you're destroying yourself. You are sinning against yourself. You are destroying something, or trying to destroy something that God has made sacred. And that just won't work. God is going to win. His way will prevail. Verse 19, where we started. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So what's the temple? Jesus Christ referred to his body as a temple. The temple in ancient Israel was believed to be the dwelling place of God. It was. Prior to that, we had the tabernacle of meeting. And God's presence was there. So we are individually temples or houses or housing the Spirit of God. And in verse 19, it says that we are the body. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, that is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. God's calling the shots. We're doing the will of God. So when we sin, we are in opposition to what God wants in our lives. Paul is saying that after we accept our calling and are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, we are set apart. We are washed. We are innocent. And our bodies are no longer our own to do whatever we want to do with them. We belong to God. No longer our will, but God's will for us. And we are obligated to seek God's will in all things. All things. When we think about Solomon's temple, it was a complex structure. It had sections and special rooms and equipment and furniture and different accoutrements that were used for the worship of God. And God had very specific ways that he was to be worshipped and very specific rituals that were to be followed. Great care and respect was taken by those who were in charge to make sure it was done according to what God specified. After it was built, well, even during the building of the temple, you know, very specifically, you know, you couldn't bring a hammer near the site. It had to, the stones had to be hewn and fashioned and brought in. And it was a sacred place set apart. And it was revered. And there was honor associated with it. But after it was built, there was a staff of people who performed the ceremonies and the duties, and the maintenance, and the cleanup of the building. And the staff consisted, of course, of the priests, which were from Levi. And then there were other Levites that weren't priests that were part of the staff. There were singers that tended to the ceremonies, and their full-time job was to sing sing praises to God. There were the gatekeepers, and then there were the group called the Nethinim. Nethinim. And that's in Ezra 2 and verse 70 and other scriptures. And it's basically the people that did everything else, like polish, sweep, bring water. But they all did it according to a procedure that was sacred and well orchestrated, because there was honor associated with this dwelling place of God. So similarly, just like the temple in the Old Testament time, Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple, it required reverence, care, and maintenance. So do our bodies, because our bodies are the temple of the Spirit of God. And God expects that we take care of our bodies, which is the temple, or the dwelling place of His Spirit in each one of us individually. And of course, the church is the composite of all of the people and all of the Spirit of God dwelling in all the people. So the church has a spirit also, the Spirit of God also. But this verse is talking specifically about an individual. The temple of God, each one of us, our bodies, house the Spirit of God. Frightening, isn't it? When you think about the procedures followed in the old Solomon's temple, you know, you're getting out of line. You know, we read about someone not carrying the ark correctly, dying. Are we that careful with ourselves, with our procedures that we follow? The human body is an incredible creation. It's a complex system of systems. Okay? And then to simplify, there's the skeletal and muscular system, there's the nervous system, there's the circulatory and respiratory system, there's the digestive and urinary system, there's the reproductive system, and then there's the endocrine system, which is the various hormones and things that are produced by your body. And they all work together intricately to enable growth, vitality, and productivity. We could do some pretty amazing things with our bodies. We can work. We can do things. We can build temples. Let's go to Job 10 and verse 8. Job 10 and verse 8. Job had a few things to say about the creation, and specifically his creation, Job 10 and verse 8. He said, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me, an intricate unity." And looking up the word, the words are translated intricate unity. It says, you know, a circular thing where he made him. God made him in the womb. We drop down to verse 10. "Did you not pour me out like milk? And curdle me like cheese." So you can see the visual here, pouring out like milk. And the curdling, you know, substance becoming something. It was a liquid. Now it's becoming a solid. "Clothed me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews." Beautiful. Beautiful description of what God does when He's creating the embryo and developing the child in the womb. Intricate. And verse 12, "You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit." So Job knew that he would be the temple of the Spirit. God created the house, if you will, and His Spirit was going to be given to Job. Now, we usually always go to Psalm 139, read about David's description of his development in the womb. But I thought Job was a little different and brought out some different points. But in Psalm 139, verse 13, it says, "You have formed my inward parts." And this inward parts literally means kidneys. Kidneys. So verse 13, it says, "You have formed my kidneys," and all that other stuff that goes in there, all those other organs, the liver, the lungs, the spinal cord, everything. "You have covered me in my mother's womb." Covered, woven me together. Again, a lot like Job was saying, woven, knitting me together. Verse 14, "I will praise you. I am fearfully," that is, made with reverence. We kind of stand back and, oh, that's amazing. "Fearfully and wonderfully made." Wonderfully means distinguished, special, different, unique. "Marvelous are your works." Marvelous means a miracle. It's a miracle. We talk about the miracle of birth. We talk about the miracle of a developing child in the mother's womb. "Fearfully and wonderfully made." "Your works are marvelous, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you," that is, my bones were not hidden from you, "when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought." Now, the word "wrought" here means like an embroidered work that is so intricate and interwoven, skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed." You know, we can look at things in a microscope and say, yeah, it just looks like a big blob, right? But God could see everything that was in there. The intricacies, the complexity of human life. So it's very depressing to hear about individuals that want to end that development of that human life. It is an egregious sin. But it's the norm. It's becoming the norm. Just like the Corinthians in their environment. I know that we realize, brethren, how amazing our bodies are. The pinnacle of God's creation. When you think about throwing a ball, all of the intricacies and the complexities that are required there to pick up the ball, the feedback system back to the brain. Oh, it's 3 feet off the ground. Oh, now I'm going to throw it really hard. Oh, now I'm going to throw a 98 mile an hour slider. How do they do that? How do those pitchers do that? How intricate is our bodies and our brains and the feedback systems and the processing power, controlling all the nerves, all the feelings, all done in split seconds? And then we want to destroy that? It's unbelievable. We think our new laptop has got a lot of power. Nothing compared to this, or your brains, or your processors, if you will. Multitasking? Sure. Electronics, hardware, it's time slicing. That's how you multitask. Here, it's real-time multitasking. How does God do it? I don't know. How does the brain work? I don't know. So how do we glorify God in our bodies? Back to verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 6. Remember, it says glorify God in our bodies, glorify God in our spirit. So how do we do that? The first one's pretty simple. Try to live a good, healthy life. Just try to be healthy. I know sometimes, I know that we have health problems. People have health problems. And it can't be helped for the most part. But when we're well, we should try to stay well. Try to be healthy. And I've just listed a few. And I've taken this information from numerous Life, Hope, and Truth articles. And all of these articles, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, on various topics, all quote 1 Corinthians 6 about the temple. You know, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And they're all about taking care of our bodies and healthy diets and abusing our bodies with bad habits. So eating a proper balanced diet. Of course, the Bible tells us to eat clean foods. And we practice that. We do that. Getting adequate rest. Sleep deprivation leads to high blood pressure, heart attack, obesity, and the likelihood of stroke. Just getting rest. And as I get older, that's becoming an issue with me. Sometimes I have a hard time getting a good night's sleep, and so does same with my wife. But when we do get a good night's sleep, boy, do we feel good the next day. It's wonderful. So, living a healthy life, eating proper balanced diet, exercising, getting adequate rest, and maintaining good emotional health. You know, it's been determined that stress is the trigger for a lot of other physical ailments that we have. You know, maintaining a positive attitude. Try to avoid stress. Sometimes we can't. We can't avoid it. So it's up to us to then learn how to deal with it. Either through self-help or professional help. Seeking wisdom to help us deal with something that we have no control over. Stress. I should say that we may have no control over. And of course, an extension of all this is just honoring God in the way we take care of our bodies, personal hygiene, dress, and appearance. Keeping our bodies clean. Not coming to services with being sick or spreading disease. By not washing your hands. Caring for your fellow brethren. Wearing our best clothing when we come before God. So glorifying God in our bodies. God has obligated us to keep holy what He has made holy. And our bodies are holy to Him. They are the temple of the Spirit. Now let's talk about glorifying God in our spirit. The second part of verse 20. Glorifying God in your spirit. Numerous scriptures tell us to become separate from the world. We are to be different. We're commanded to be different. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness?" You can't mix it. Sure, you could probably work together. But it can't get much deeper than that as far as a relationship. And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, which is basically Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Just can't mix. It won't mix. One of them's got to give sooner or later. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Here again, saying the same thing. You are the temple of the living God. I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Don't touch it. It's like Paul. You know, I can do what I want, but everything I do is not wise. And I can choose what to do, the wise things, and not come under the power of all these other pulls, because God has given me discernment and the ability to see it. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So be separate. Come out of her, out of it, out of the society as much as humanly possible. We have to make a living. Most of us have neighbors to deal with. We should be a light on a hill, an example. Our obligation is to fellowship with the fellow saints and not follow the ways of the world. It reminds me of a song by Billy Joel. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than die with the saints. Anybody heard that song? And what's the tag on it? Only the good die young. Well, the old man has to die, and the new man lives on in the Spirit of God. So, along with this same point, glorify God in your spirit, we should try hard, as hard as we can, not to succumb to the social trends and addictive habits that can destroy the body. Not succumb to the social trends and addictive habits that can destroy the body. What am I talking about? The big one is smoking. Along with that is vaping now. You know, now that people are dying from vaping. And how many of us didn't think that that was a bad idea to begin with? Right? When you're behind some kid in a car and it looks like the car's on fire, what's going on up there? Oh, it's vaping. Really? Why do people start smoking? Well, I had friends that started smoking. I, for some reason, never picked up the habit, although it was very prevalent in my home growing up. But most of the people I talk to say, well, why did you start smoking? Or when did you start smoking? Well, when I was 15, I was bored. I was bored, so I started smoking. Or all my friends smoke. You know, maybe they were influenced by their parents. If their parents smoked, both of them, they probably didn't discourage the kids from smoking. But it's primarily it's to seek approval of your friends or your peers. That's how it gets started. Well, I can quit any time I want. Right. My dad smoked from the time he was 13 years old until age 48. And a miracle happened. He quit. He also was called into the church. And he lived to be 87. And he didn't die of lung cancer or any other kind of cancer. A miracle. It can happen. So don't succumb to the societal trends and addictive habits that can destroy the body. Second part of that, don't succumb to the societal trends and addictive habits that can destroy the body and the mind. Because we are the whole body, physical and spiritual. And there's things out there that can destroy your body and your mind. Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. And verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, you know, let the Spirit be your guide, and if you do, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. That just means that they're in opposition to each other. So we have to choose one. Are we going to be led by our lusts, by our own will, or are we going to be led by the Spirit, which is God's will? And they're contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So here, it says you have a conscience. So there's things I want to do, but I end up doing the other thing. You know, Paul talks about that in other places. If we drop down to verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. We talked about that. Sexual sins. And I call it sexual sins and entertainment. Because the internet is full of stuff that fall into this category. Movies, books, this and that, television. In verse 21 it says, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty mighty powerful words. Not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's just pick a couple here. So let's say sorcery. You go, oh, okay, I get that. Sorcery, that's like, magic and this and that. Well, I've looked up these words before, and I've been wanting to talk about them. It doesn't mean what you think it means. It doesn't mean what you think it means. The word sorcery in verse 20 is from the word pharmakeia, P-H-A-R, phar, like pharmacy. And it means medication, magic, sorcery. It's also translated witchcraft in other places. Medication, what's it talking about? Could it be drugs? Just asking the question. Could it be drugs? So in Revelation 21 and verse 8, the word sorceries is also there, and it's pharmakeias. And it means druggist. It means druggist. Let's go to Revelation 21 and verse 8. Revelation 21 and verse 8. It's sort of picking up in the theme here. It says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The word sorcerer means druggist. So what is this huge problem we have in the United States? Drugs. What is the source of most murders? Drug deals gone bad. What is a social trend or an addictive habit that can destroy the body and the mind? Drugs. Let's take another one, verse 21. Drunkenness. Okay, well, what can we say about that? We all know about that one. We know that the proper use of alcohol in moderation can be enjoyable and acceptable. But abuse of alcohol and drunkenness always leads to pain, sorrow, shattered relationships, and destroyed lives. So there's a societal trend and an addictive habit that can destroy the body and the mind. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. We're to honor God in our bodies, honor God in our spirit. With our spirit. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. It says, do you not know that you're the temple of God? So there is. It's saying in numerous places. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Asking the same rhetorical question. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? The Spirit of God is holy. So the word defile means to spoil, to ruin, to waste away. If anyone defiles the temple of God, which is the body, God will destroy him. You know, God allowed the temple to be destroyed a couple times. Why? Because of the sins of the people. So I think it's noteworthy to say, yeah, is it possible that this temple could be destroyed because of sin? I think so. So how else can we honor God with the spirit that he has in us? It's avoiding the works of the flesh. Avoiding the works of the flesh. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul when he's in the basic English, when he says, I am free to do all things, but not all things are wise. I am free to do all things, but I'm not going to let myself come under the power of just anything. Some passing fad. Titus 2 and verse 11. Titus 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to that, the return of Jesus Christ, to turn the world upside down from what it is now and clean it up, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, buy us, purchase us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people. The body is holy, special, zealous for good works. So in conclusion, brethren, the temple Solomon built for God was magnificent. Our bodies, which are the temple of the Holy Spirit, are also magnificent. They are special. And anything that contains God's presence, like our bodies, is deemed holy to God. And we are obligated to take care of this temple, take care of this body, and use it for the good of ourselves, and do it for, and for the good of our fellow brethren and for all of mankind. Use it for good. Keep it healthy. Keep it functioning. The body that receives the gift of the Holy Spirit is also special to God, and that body is to reflect His nature. It's His will being fulfilled in our actions and in our thoughts. Not our will anymore. We have to put away the old person and live in newness of life. So from time to time, we have to ask the question, what is the current state of this temple? What is the current state of this temple? We were bought with a price. We are to glorify God in our body. We are to glorify God in our spirit. We are to keep holy what God has made holy and avoid the works of the flesh and not succumb to the societal trends and addictive habits that can destroy not only our body, but they can destroy our mind, because that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to destroy our mind, so that we cannot think logically or think spiritually about anything. Let's turn to Romans 12 and verse 2 for the final scripture. Romans 12 and verse 1, I should say. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, which is what is expected to be a living sacrifice. Yes, it's hard living in this world. Yes, it's hard overcoming our habits and our sins and our problems. But it's what God expects from the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the word bodies here implies the whole body, the mind and the physical aspects of it. And verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. That means don't be fashioned after this world, but be transformed, and that word is metamorpho, and we all know about metamorphosis, right? Where this caterpillar becomes this cocoon and it becomes this moth. It changes completely, and God is saying, this is what happens to you. Don't be conformed or formed by the world, but be changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect according to the will of God.